That was a stretch of time, going from 2 to 4 kids, mom getting sick. It was a lot all at once.
And it was just hard, like so hard.
It was hard, and at the same time, like we could at the same time back away and see how blessed we have been, like these just beautiful kids, and how God orchestrated all of it to place them in our family. And there were some really difficult ups and downs and some really difficult moments that, you know, some of the hardest moments of our life. But the result is like these beautiful kids,
mm-hmm.
and they are in our family and they're ours. And
yeah.
So we are, while we step away and remember how hard it was, we also see the giant blessing that it is.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to the Keystone Stories Podcast, a place to share the stories God is writing in the lives of our church family. These are stories of transformation, joy, sorrow, pain, and healing. Stories told in the most difficult seasons, as well as seasons of incredible blessing. Stories you can't help but see the faithfulness of God within. As we listen, our prayer is that the church will respond in worship as we remember who Jesus is and all he has done in both the good and hard seasons of life. Today's story is from Casey and Stephanie Schaefbo.
Shortly after we were married, we were pregnant with Crew, and Crew's pregnancy was looking to be very healthy. Everything was on track and no issues until you had a routine appointment and you called me. I remember I was walking into a meeting and you called me and said, "Hey, I am being admitted into the hospital," and I asked me to come, and so I went, and we had no idea what was going on, but we found out pretty soon that Crew would likely be born very early, and then in a few days, Crew was born at 29 weeks and 2.5 pounds, which kind of started a long stay in the NICU.
Crew was in the hospital for 2.5 months. And we were told to wait 2 years before we tried again, just to give my body a break because I had gotten so sick from that pregnancy. And so just shy of his second birthday, we got pregnant right away, and told just our families at Crew's birthday party that we were expecting again. And at the first doctor's appointment, found out that I had miscarried at 8 weeks. And that just really shook us. Especially after Crew's birth, it was just super hard. But we just went into, "Oh, it's fine. Like, it won't happen again. We'll just keep trying." And, that went into 10 months of infertility and trying to get pregnant, and then we did finally get pregnant with our third pregnancy and went to our first appointment. Everything looked great, and so, you know, there was so much hope, and we ended up miscarrying at 14 weeks, went into our second appointment at 16 weeks and found out that the baby had died at 14 weeks. And that was really, really hard just because we were further along and we thought that we were past that time period of miscarrying. And I was further along, so it was harder on me. And so I think that's just kind of when things started
Yeah, we started to suspect that something was amiss.
Yes. Yep. So we did end up going to get just things checked out with a doctor downtown. She was a specialist that walked me through my birth with Crew. I remember her saying at that appointment that...
Yeah, she said, I don't know why you're having these miscarriages, but I have a feeling that you're going to struggle to stay pregnant. Like, that was the message she gave us. And I remember that just, like, being in the back of our minds and us wanting to not believe that was true. But as it played out, it just continued to be true.
So we ended up getting pregnant right away with our fourth pregnancy, right after our miscarriage. And I got a positive pregnancy test. And then 2 days later, I started miscarrying. And it just made us question a lot of things because there was just so much hope. I remember when I got pregnant right away, just thinking like God has answered our prayers and everything's going to be fine now because I got pregnant right away. And, you know, telling our families and just sharing with them our joy and happiness. And then 2 days later to be miscarrying was just so, so hard.
I remember with each miscarriage, just not knowing the right things to say. I had my own sadness, and it felt one way to me. And then, as the mother, physical things are happening to your body, and you feel it. You feel sadness, and you feel it an entirely different way. And so it's like, as a dad in that role is really difficult. There's I remember calling a mentor of mine on the way home after I found out about the third or fourth one, I don't remember, and just saying like, I do not know what I'm supposed to say in this moment. I don't know. There's nothing that can be said to make the pain go away. At this point, there's really very little that can be said to be hopeful with all that's happened. And I just remember him saying that, like, my role in that moment is to just listen and to draw out any of the anger and sadness and all the emotions that come along with loss like that, to just listen to you and to draw that out of you the best I can.
Yeah. And I think for me, I've always wanted to be a mom. Like, even when I was young, people would ask me, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I'd always, like, at a very young age, and be like, I want to be a mom. Like, that's all. Yeah. I want to be. I didn't even know what I wanted to go to college for because, you know, in my mind, well, I'm just going to nanny until I get married and be a mom. And so for that ability to be taken away and not be able to carry a pregnancy was really just devastating. And to watch Crew get older and older and not be able to give him a sibling was so hard. And I think as you watch that age gap grow, you just worry like, oh, he's not going to have a best buddy, and he's not going to have, you know, that close bond that siblings that are close in age have. And meanwhile, all of our friends are getting pregnant easily and having their first and second pregnancy, you know, and that, it was just so, so hard, and it just weighed so heavy. Not that we weren't excited and happy for them, it just, here we were with one kid and could not grow our family. And that was super, super difficult. After our second miscarriage, I remember we were Cornerstone at the time, and I remember they were playing videos of people's stories, and one of the videos happened to be, and it was like, I want to say the weekend after my miscarriage. It was like so quick right after that second miscarriage. And it was a couple who had miscarried several times and then went on to adopt. And I just remember feeling like God was speaking so strongly to me that Sunday, and just like bawled in service because I could just feel God saying, like, I want you to pursue adoption. And it was something that we've even talked about on our first date, how we both wanted to adopt, but we thought it would be like, we'll grow our family and then we'll adopt overseas. Like, we just never saw it being here in the United States. And so God just started growing this seed inside me. And I remember, like, we talked about it after our second miscarriage, but after our third miscarriage, it was just like so clear to me that this is what God wanted us to do. And I remember financially, it was just like, there's no way we can make this work. Like, we don't even have the money to begin the process. And so we just decided that we were going to pray about it. And yeah, what is crazy is we got a refund check from 3 years ago from Cruise Birth from an insurance company, which doesn't make any sense. And that was the amount that we needed to start with the agency. And then I was cleaning houses at the time, and I got a bonus check from one of my clients out of nowhere. And that was the exact amount that we needed for the social worker. So it was just like God saying, I've got this. Mm-hmm. You just need to say yes and, you know, just have faith and I've got this. And so just like that, we started our adoption process with Joby. We really felt led that God wanted us to have a girl. I don't know.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Why? But we just went into it very strongly wanting a girl. And the cool thing about our daughter was, on paper, she was supposed to be a boy and was born a girl. And so just that cool little factor that, you know, God answered our prayers and brought us a sweet, precious little girl. But we actually, so we were active with our agency in January. And a situation is like an expectant mom who comes in and wants to place her baby for adoption. And we would see all sorts of information about these women and just having to decide, like, yes or no, do we want to present our little profile book of our family to this expectant mom. And it was really, really hard. And in those months, God slowly, like, we were pretty closed off about a lot of things. And God just slowly opened our hearts to more and more of these situations, to the point of there was an outside agency that came to our agency that was having a hard time finding a family for this child. And so I remember it was a really tricky, hard situation. And we ended up saying yes to it. But she ended up changing her mind and wanting to parent her baby. So in that situation, though, this agency had our profile book, and the social worker there really, really liked our family. And so within a few days, she emailed me again and said, hey, I have an expectant mom here whose baby was just born. It was supposed to be a boy. It's a girl. And this was on, I even remember the day. It was on a Tuesday. And she asked if we were interested and if we could get on an airplane right away and come down and get her if she chose us. And so, of course, our response was yes, absolutely. And that's something that we were praying that it would be a stork drop, which means the baby's already born, so you don't have to go through all the expenses of the expectant mom before the adoption, and that it would be in Florida and that it would be a girl, and all of those things just all of a sudden came true. And so it was over Memorial Weekend. So, you know, of course, things closed down over the weekend. And then on that following Tuesday, we got a phone call that she picked us and we needed to get on an airplane and immediately fly to Florida. And so we got down there on Thursday, I believe. We got picked on a Wednesday, flew down there on Thursday, and got to meet our daughter on Thursday and bring her back to the hotel with us on a Friday. And so that was like the best gift. I will never forget flying down there right away with our son and just the emotions of meeting her. And she was just the perfect, precious little girl. And yeah, you have to wait a while before you can leave state. And so we got all this time with her to bond with her before we were able to come back to Iowa. And yeah, it was just a precious gift. So
after we spent our time in Florida, getting to just spend time with Jovi, and Crew was there with us. Your mom came down as well. And after the
3 weeks,
of ICPC
being
time
in Florida, yeah.
There's worse places to be than Florida. But after that, when I remember I had to come home first, and then you came home after that. And I remember just like you got her home, and it was just this big sort of reunion of the whole family coming together. And
what's
we
cool
just celebrated
is
that
before we got her, I'd planted these flowers from Costco. And when we got her, they bloomed.
They bloomed. And then they
and that was like,
yeah,
so cool.
And they were perennials, so they
every year
they would bloom, and it would remind us of Jovi. So then we get into the rhythm of, or tried to get into the rhythm of having two kids, and was it 5 months later? We got a letter in the mail from Jovi's birth mom. And so that was, so we had met her, obviously, when we first met Jovi. Well, a couple days after we first met Jovi. So we were able to meet Jovi's birth mom, and we had set it up beforehand for this to be an open adoption, meaning that we would maintain a relationship with her to the extent that it was healthy and possible. And so we agreed to that. We thought that was best for Jovi.
Which is like one of the things that we were very closed off when we started the adoption process.
Yeah, it took us a minute.
That God really opened our hearts and just showed us how important it is for Jovi to have that relationship in her life. whether it's visits or just, you know, emails and letters, how important that is for her to have that piece of her story.
Yeah, we never wanted Jovi to wake up one day and wonder what her story was.
Yeah.
We wanted it to always be a part of her life and her knowledge as she grew up. But the letter that we got in the mail kind of started a relationship or started a some communication back and forth, mostly with letters. And you wrote, I don't know how many handwritten letters back and forth to Jovi's birth mom.
Yeah, so we grew a friendship and got to know each other a lot through letters or email, just depending on things, where she was at in life. And we ended up, when Jovi was 2, we decided to try one last time. It took me a while after the miscarriages to even want to start trying again. But we always wanted a big family, and so we just decided, you know, it's been a while. Let's just try and see what happens. And we could not get pregnant for a long time. And so after about a year of trying, we ended up, it was over a year, we ended up getting pregnant. And I was super excited because my sister was also pregnant and we were, our babies would have been close in age. And I lost that baby at 10 weeks. So, that was also another miscarriage where I went in for this first appointment. They were watching me very closely, and everything was okay. And then we went in for our second appointment and the baby's heartbeat was not where it should be. And that was probably my hardest miscarriage because, a couple was also pregnant in our connection group with the same exact due date. And I had to go through Jovi's birthday weekend knowing that I was losing my baby. But at the same time celebrating what a gift she was. But also losing, you know, this last hope that we had. And so I just remember being so devastated the whole time, wondering, like, I wonder if it's happened yet, and, you know, seeing all this family. And I went in on that Monday after that weekend, and it had passed away. And so I remember we, at that point, decided, like, let's just go see an infertility doctor and see what's going on. I was pretty, I would say, closed off after that miscarriage. Like, I am done trying. I am done with this whole process. Like, we've had a successful adoption, and she's great. She's such a gift. Like, let's just adopt again. And I say just as if it's so easy, but it's not. And so we ended up going to Mid-Iowa Fertility Clinic and meeting with a doctor there and having, some test run, meeting with my OB, and again, the same story. And I even remember my OB telling me, like, I don't think that you will be able to carry another pregnancy. You can do this test, but I don't think it's going to give you the answers that you are wanting. And sure enough, it didn't. It was non-conclusive. Like, they could not find out why I was not carrying these pregnancies. And so, and I remember her putting her hand on my knee and telling me, like, you have adopted and you have a beautiful girl. I think you should pursue adoption. And just for a doctor to tell us that, it's just crazy. But I will never forget her telling us that. And so, yeah, then we just kind of, that summer, just really struggled back and forth with, do we adopt again? Do we pursue IVF? Like, what is our next step? And that summer, we actually got to see Jovi's birth mom down in Florida and have a visit with her. And that went really, really well and was such a gift for her to be able to see her. And so I guess, long story short, we ended up deciding to adopt again because we just couldn't seem to find any answers.
So we started down that path, and yeah, how long was it that we were kind of actively waiting for?
We were active with them for 2 years, and actually ended up getting picked by an expectant mom. And what's crazy is that was in October, and in November, we got a phone call from Jovi's birth mom telling us that she was pregnant. And so it was, and that she, like, she knew that we had been waiting 2 years to adopt a baby, and, like, she was so sweet. She was just like, I know that I got pregnant so that I could give you this baby. Like, she was just so set on it. And I remember being like, I don't understand, because we were picked by this expectant mom, but yet you're pregnant, and, like, not knowing what to do. And we had a feeling that this other expectant mom was most likely not going to choose adoption, that she was just wanting us to get her rent paid for, because she was lying about a couple of things. And we finally were able to get her to tell the agency the truth in December. And so that's when that adoption was disputed, and we went full on with Jovi's birth mom, Brandy. We pursued adoption with her.
And what that started was a much closer, more frequent communication with Jovi's birth mom. And we wound up in Florida, and I remember we were in the room.
Yeah, we got to be there for the birth of Gemma, which was, like, such a gift.
Yeah.
That she wanted us there, that we were able to hold her hand and cry with her as she was giving birth. And I will never forget that she shared that with us, and mm-hmm. that she chose us. And I mean, the fact that Jovi can be raised with her biological sister is just such a gift for both of those girls. And so yeah, that was just the biggest blessing. While we were active and waiting for our second adoption, we found out about a family member who had a nephew that was born, who would be immediately placed into foster care, and most likely that the parental rights would be terminated on both sides. And so, and that he would be needing a home. And so right away, of course, we were interested, but because he was in foster care and we were not certified, he went right away to a foster home. And so he was always a possibility, but we weren't, you know, all we could do was just email the foster agency And that was, you know, like, it was completely in God's hands. And so I remember, so Gemma was born in July, and I remember in June, the social worker let us know that the parental rights had been terminated, and sending our information to him and our home study to him, just letting him know, like, hey, we would love to adopt him. And then in the meantime, Jim is born, and we bring her home in August. And it wasn't until that October that the foster agency reached back out to us and let us know, like, hey, we are seriously considering you and another family, and we want you to come in. And that just blew us away. Yeah. And so we ended up going in and talking to them and just pretty much begging, like, we would love to have this boy in our family. And he was 18 months at the time. And we were chosen at the end of October, and we got to go meet him the week of Thanksgiving. And yeah, we started having visits with him in November, and in December, on my birthday, he came home and got to live with us permanently. And that was just amazing. But at the same time, we just went from two kids to four kids, and that was insane. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so during this whole adoption journey, we were also going through your mom.
Yeah. Yep, we were. So yeah, mom was diagnosed with lung cancer a year prior to, so what it had been, like, September of the previous year.
Of Gemma's birth, yeah.
Yeah. So we got to bring home Gemma, and we got to introduce Gemma to mom, and mom got to hold Gemma, but then mom ultimately passed without getting to meet Brayden.
Mm-hmm.
But mom knew of Brayden and she knew that he was in foster care and that he was a possibility, and but she never got to meet him before he came into our house. But
yeah,
it was a very that was a stretch of time, going from two to four kids, mom getting sick. It was a lot all at once.
And it was just hard, like, so hard.
It was hard, and at the same time, like, we could at the same time back away and see how blessed we have been. Like, these just beautiful kids, and how God orchestrated all of it to place them in our family. And there were some really difficult ups and downs, and some really difficult moments that, you know, some of the hardest moments of our life. But the result is, like, these beautiful kids,
mm-hmm.
and they are in our family, and they're ours. And
yeah,
so we are, yeah, while we step away and remember how hard it was, we also see the giant blessing that it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Brayden was officially a SHAFPO that spring.
Mm-hmm.
And we had two boys, two girls, and, we were done. Like, we thought, like, what a blessing God has given us, mm-hmm. and answered, like, literally all of our prayers, and grown our family in a different way than we ever would have imagined.
Also, I would say we were overwhelmed.
Yeah.
By having four kids.
So overwhelmed. So when Brayden turned three, we moved into a new house, because obviously we needed way more room and way more space for all these children. And I remember the weekend that we moved, I felt so sick. and had been feeling sick for a really long time. And like thought, oh, my mono's flaring back up. Or I even thought, oh my gosh, I hope it's not cancer. Like, I just have been so sick off and on, and it just didn't make sense. And so I remember that weekend, my sister coming over and saying, if you don't go buy a pregnancy test, I'm going to go get one for you. Like, you need to take a pregnancy test. In the back of my head, I'm like, there's no way. After 5 years of infertility and 4 losses and this whole journey, and Casey was always gone working on the house. Like, there was just no way. And there was a way. I took a test, and I was 8 weeks along already. And just the emotions that come with that, like, one, we were so overwhelmed with 4 children, and just like, how are we going to handle 5? Like, how are we ever going to be able to handle this? But 2, all of the loss that I had processed and that whole journey, I had moved on and I had accepted and like grieved that, okay, this is the story that God took us through. And, you know, but look, it led us to these 4 children, and I'm okay with not having another pregnancy. To now being pregnant and being like, terrified that I'm going to have another miscarriage. And I remember crying so much because I was so scared. And yeah, every appointment went great, to the point where I think around 24 weeks, it went into like, okay, we're actually going to have a 5th kid. And just being, so grateful that God gave me this pregnancy and that I was able to feel a baby inside me again and just be pregnant and enjoy it was just the biggest. I already felt blessed, and this was just like, it was beyond feeling blessed. I just was so grateful, and just, there was just a lot of moments of like, how can God be this good? Like, just, we were already grateful, and he's literally like answered every one of our prayers when we didn't deserve it. And here we are having this precious baby. And so the other cool piece of it was, Safi was almost exactly 10 years after Crew. So all of these moments with her pregnancy, it was almost like deja vu, because she was due on December 8th and he was due on December 19th. And so it was just like insane to experience all these things exactly 10 years later. That's just a long stretch of time. Mm-hmm. And so it was just crazy to go through all these things again, but this time with 4 children. I was really, really sick, but I mean, what a gift. Like,
yeah,
I would never complain about that pregnancy, because it was just such a gift.
Yeah, I remember again, like, mixed emotions of how excited we were to be pregnant, how, you know, also in the back of our mind just a little scared. Because of all the miscarriages that we'd had in the past, but then just like feeling so blessed, and then also terrified,
yeah,
of the probability of 5 children. And yeah, we were already overwhelmed. And
I remember Crew, when we told our kids, the first thing out of Crew's mouth was, can you handle 5 kids?
So we said, no, we
can't. Like, that's what we're thinking too. Like, no, we can't. And like, people always say, God doesn't give you more than you can handle. And I'm like, that is the furthest thing from true. Yeah. Like, yes, he does, because he wants you to rely on him. It is not about what you can and can't handle. Because if you look at our story, We had more than what we could handle. So,
yeah.
But with Cruz's birth, obviously, it was pretty traumatic. And so going into Savvy's birth was really, really scary for me. I started having really, really high blood pressure towards the end again. And so they were just really, really monitoring me to try to get me to that 37-week mark. And I just remember every week after 29 weeks was just like a huge victory. Like, we've made it to 30 weeks. Now we've made it to 32 weeks. And now it's 34 and she could come and we could actually like come home with her and she'd be okay. And just celebrating that and the gift that she wasn't early, because that was my other fear, was that she would come early and I'd have to juggle the NICU and these four children who desperately need all my attention. And so, Savvy was born in November. And cool little side story, a girl that I walked through infertility and loss with here at Keystone had her daughter on the same exact day in the same exact hospital. And that's just something sweet that we get to share with each other now. And so, like, just things like that that God doesn't have to do, but he just does to bring you joy. And it's just, it's so cool. Like, just so, so cool. And her and I never would, like, I never would have said that that would ever happen. And here we were having our babies together. And so, just the biggest, biggest blessing. And she has brought us so much joy. We named her Savvy Sue, and Sue is after Casey's mom. Just a special little tribute to her, because that was something that she always wanted us to just keep trying. And I think it is just, it's bittersweet, because I wish she could meet her and see, like, what a gift all of our children are. And so, I think looking back on all of this, if I could tell, like, any woman out there at Keystone, like, who is struggling with loss or infertility, like, to not forget that God has not forgotten you and is right there grieving with you. Like, this was not his plan. And sin obviously entered the world, and that he is right there with you, grieving with you, and that he is working behind the scenes. And even though you can't see it, like, there is happiness and joy and just him. But also, like, if you have faith in him, he is going to bless you with more than you can even believe. Like, that was a common thing that a lot of people would ask us. And it was just like, we just had faith that God would show up and that he would provide. I remember there's a lot of times where I just literally was like, this doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense to adopt two kids in a 4-month stretch, but that are 14 months apart. But God's got this, and I wouldn't do our story any other way. And without those miscarriages, we wouldn't have three of our children. Like, those miscarriages led us to adoption. And I mean, what an amazing story that God used us to write.
Thank you for listening to the Keystone Stories podcast. For more stories, visit us at keystonelife.com/stories.